I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
So when you got Trade a Hall of Fame tight end.
Well, that's the biggest thing, right?
We should bring that into the discussion as
well.
He is
your number one receiver.
Right.
And Jerick McKinnon.
And can make it easier to downgrade on the edges,
yes.
And you can still be effective.
Yeah, like, I'll say this.
You got a Hall of Famer in the middle.
When I go to the window and I place my bet on the Super Bowl, it will not be because Mahomes does or does not have, top. He doesn't have top flight receivers. He didn't have top flight receivers at the end of the Cincinnati game, and he still found a way.
Mm-hmm.
I know Cincinnati's, Philly's going to be a different beast altogether than Cincinnati, but, like, if I believe Kansas City is going to win, I'm not going to base that on, whether Juju Smith-Schuster plays or not. It's just going to be about, do I think they can scheme it up? Do I think Mahomes can do enough against that defense to pull out a win? And that's what I'm still trying to – I lean that way right now. Different circumstances, but A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith combined for 60 yards last week. I mean –
they didn't have to, though.
No, it's
true.
It's
over early game strips because you're running that, and they did.
For sure. A lot of factors. I agree totally. But in the end, I think receiver is probably the position in the NFL that is, on average, most replaceable. On average. Because there's so many.
No, it's running back.
Yeah, okay, you're right. Running back. But followed by receiver. Maybe linebacker? Because there's, again, you're talking about three or four. So how many truly game-breaking receivers are there in the NFL? Guys who, if they're on the field or not on the field.
Ten. Isn't that a good number to start with?
Nuck, Devontae.
Jamar.
Jefferson.
You got Devontae.
Diggs. Yep. Diggs is one. We're not putting T. Higgins there quite yet, are we?
Debo gets that money if he got the line to what those other guys got, but it's so spread out in that offense. He's paid like one, though.
All right, we'll say Debo. Keenan Allen or no?
I guess.
Is he a game breaker? He's not a game breaker anymore. He used to not be anymore.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, I think.
Absolutely.
So that's six.
Thought you had eight there. Okay, six.
That's seven.
Okay.
Now I'm on eight. Can you get me three more?
Well, the Moon Man. You put Chase Claypool and Mooney.
Oh, now that is it.
What about the guys that are on the way? Like a CD, CD's couldn't. He got a champion game changer. And he's not there yet. That's fine.
Yeah.
We're leaving out several here. It feels like.
Well, I think there's a like
we're
there's
going
a
off the top
there's
of our
a
head.
Step me, down oh, right like the CD Lambs.
I'm just. We can we get to 10? I think we can.
The
get
Amon Ross, St. Browns. You know what I mean? Like I think those guys are coming up. T. Higgins, is he there yet?
No, but will be.
I mean,
one more year on that contract.
We're saying receivers, but you would certainly say like Kelce and Kittle, but we're just going with receivers here. AJ, right?
Yeah,
okay, that's eight.
Game changer.
And I think that I don't know. I'm kind of done. At eight, bro. I mean, you want to put Terry McLaurin in there?
CD was third in the league in receiving, bro. Is that what? No, I'm sorry.
No,
that's postseason.
Yeah, he's six, though. He's six.
Okay.
I mean, do you think he's there? You think he's – okay, we'll put CD at nine. That's fine. That's fine.
What about DK?
Not anymore.
I'll give you that.
Not anymore. So I'm at nine. Can you give me one more?
I mean, there's enough around that we can get to that. What my initial – take that 10 is probably a solid number to start with.
We're stretching to get to 10, but that's fine. Point is there's a lot of receivers in the NFL who are good and replaceable. Like there's not like you can count on,
But it ain't running back. I think you had tried to step a little too far out there though.
Okay.
It's not the running back position.
Yeah, you're right. Cuz running backs can
What does McLaurin count? He puts up numbers.
He does. I don't think he's It's hard to differentiate.
Does Amari doesn't count anymore?
I don't think so.
Evans doesn't count?
I don't think so. I mean, they're great, but like
Garrett Wilson will be when he gets a QB.
Yes, and we're talking about guys who when they don't play.
So it's a good solid 10.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And I think Mike Williams when he plays, right?
Yeah, and I think you're right. Ramondre Stevenson was 13th in the NFL in rushing. Like, I mean, he's good, but he's not like, oh man, Ramondre Stevenson's not playing.
Here's the point: what you can't do is give me 10 running backs like that.
Jacobs, Henry, Chubb, Barkley. And then it falls Christian McCaffrey, and then it falls off.
Did you say Cook? He should be in there. If he's not, he should.
All right, I'll give you
six.
But he's not the same guy.
You don't see those anymore. Did you put Taylor in there?
No, but are we sure on him?
I don't know.
He had a great year 2 years ago.
That's the most replaceable position now. You see it in the way these guys are.
Yeah.
You know, that used up for the rookie contract, basically let go. We'll get the next one.
Yep, that's exactly right. I mean, 10th in the league.
Josh Jacobs going to end up being an outlier guy that ends up re-signing with his team.
Yeah.
You know, the team that drafted him.
I would like to compare. Okay, so I'm just going to do this exercise on the fly right here because this is like the league has changed. Number 10 in the NFL this year is Aaron Jones. He finished with 1,100 yards, right? Let's go back to 2006 regular season, right? So 17 years ago, what did number 10 have in rushing? 1,200? Okay. So it was, the top was heavier. But you had, how many 1,000-yard rushers did you have in 2006? You had 23.
You got 16 this year.
Yeah. 23 1,000-yard rushers. And really, I will say 24 because Willis McGahee in 2006 had 990. So, I mean, that gives you an idea, almost, you know, a third of.
Yeah, offenses are passing offenses now.
Yeah.
When these do-it-all backs.
Well, and again, go look at the franchise tag, right? Go look at the franchise tag. A franchise tag for running backs only going to cost you $10 million.
Yeah, I saw that. Josh would only get $10
million. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what the. And it goes into the shelf life and things like that. I mean, we know that. But, you know, if you just compare, yeah, like running backs just are not valued. They don't get drafted in the first round anymore, very rarely. You know, it's just not as much of an emphasis anymore.
Would you give Saquon a huge deal and do it?
I can't. Based on what? I mean.
Based on this year.
I can't. Can't, bro. Because it's going to cost me somewhere else. It's going to cost me with Kayvon Thibodeau. It's going to cost me on the defense. It's going to cost me on the DB.
Well, they got to figure out. I told you it's Daniel Jones, too.
Yeah. I mean, I can't pay a running back that kind of money because, A, he's going to get hurt, you know, and, B, I'm going to have to borrow from another. Running back is just not a position where you can sell out anymore, you know. You sell out for your edge rusher, your quarterback, your DB. And your receiver. Those are the positions that you like. All right, we got to pay these guys. There's no doubt we got to do it. And
I think you're right overall, but I do think the Giants are going to end up having to pay due to give them the long term deal. And I think you franchise Daniel. Pay.
I think that's probably
Saquon.
Right. I think that's probably fair. I agree with that. My buddy Coop says Jalen Waddle. I mean, I don't think we can say Jalen Waddle's in that next tier. He's in the next. He's in there with Amon-Ra and I'd say
Claypool.
Waddle. No, Claypool is not, bro. Claypool is one bad year from being out of the league and playing for the Memphis Showboats.
Brandon Ayuk is in that group.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
What about Boyd?
No. Solid three. Solid number three. but I don't think he's like older. He's like 27, 28 years old.
I don't think I'm not sure I knew that.
Yeah, he's a little older. Anyway, it's an interesting conversation. I was thinking about it yesterday. I will say this. Like, the Bills need a better number two. I thought Gabe was going to take a big step this year and be, you know, consistent.
Gabe Rogers.
Davis. Gabe Rogers. Does he play for Memphis, bro?
I don't know where that came from. Gabe Davis didn't make enough of a name for himself.
He did.
You drafted him very high in fantasy.
Too high.
What did he catch, for 500 yards or something?
Yeah, he might have gotten.
Well, why should I know it?
Gabe Rogers.
Do more.
Gabe Davis finished with
600 yards receiving.
They had more than that. He had way more than that. I think he had 836. Had seven touchdowns. That was good for 15.
A lot of those came early in the season.
His 17.4 yards per catch was third in the NFL. I don't think he probably didn't get the ball enough. Didn't get open enough. Anyway, thought it was an interesting piece to the Chiefs and Eagles Super Bowl matchup. We're gonna come back, talk to Trista Crick at 125. But gotta tell you about our friends at Shoot 360. This is a place where if you've got a basketball lover in the family, you gotta take them out and let them check it out because it's a utopia. All that technology, it's the same technology that Steph and Clay use, millions of data points. So when you take that jumper, it's gonna measure, hey, you're too strong on this. You're too left on this. You're too right on this. You're going to be able to develop that muscle memory where it becomes second nature. And you're going to be able to see it. You're going to enjoy watching them get better at the game. Memberships available. 85 Market Center Drive.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
In Carville. Trista Crick's going to join us at 125. We'll talk to her about everything, I'm sure. We're less than a month away from the NBA trade deadline. And we've been now having conversations about, okay, are the Grizzlies going to be active? Should they be active? Should they be talkers? Should they be listeners? And you had mentioned, Jason, that Bobby Marks has something out about potential trades for every team. Is that what he did?
Yes. You're going to have to give me a second to pull it up. I thought you had.
I cannot find that one. I thought it was called up there. But look, here's the thing.
You talked about being Danny Green being the one to watch. You're going to expect him to be the – that's generally summing it up. You expect him to be the addition, or you're going to use him as a trade piece. He points out that Zach Kleiman is also, you know, in terms of what he's usually inclined to do, it's not to make in-season trades. I think he points out, what's it been, 3 years?
Yeah.
Since he's made one?
Yeah. February 9th is the deadline, which is, like, coming up fast. I mean, that's coming up super fast. So, you don't have that much time. Is it the Western Conference? Yeah, the Western Conference deal predictions, right? Isn't that what you're talking about?
Yeah, you're saying they took it down or something?
No, I'm looking at it.
Okay, good.
I'm looking at it now. He really, this is what he says. Green, Xavier Tillman, 2024 pick, first rounder for Malik Beasley. I mean, that seems like a lot, man. Are you going to give up a first round pick for Malik Beasley? I don't know.
No.
I'm uninterested in that one, my man. It's not so much a prediction as it is a trade we would like to see.
He's not saying, does he say which pick? He's Golden State or their own? I know they own all of their own, and they got the Golden State pick. He doesn't say we're tossing in the Golden State pick, surely.
So whichever one is top 14 protected, a 2024 top 14 protected first to Utah. It doesn't say which one that is. Kleiman's made 27 trades, only two during the regular season. 3 years since he's made a trade during the regular season.
There it is. Totally.
Of the 15 players under contract, 11 have been drafted by the Grizzlies. Zach Kleiman has never traded a first-round pick. They have 9 second-rounders to use. So
you think he's going to trade a first-round pick to give Malik Beasley to win, what, a game more now?
I don't even know if that's what it translates to. I do think...
What's he got left on his
I do think the Grizzlies have to move off some of them, though, because you're not just going to draft all. You're not going to use all of them. You're just not.
Yeah, at some point you're going to consolidate when you're ready to make the big move.
Yeah, but it ain't going to be Malik Beasley. I mean, he's not even shooting the ball as well as I thought he was. So
he's got one more year on his deal, it appears, to Malik. Wouldn't just be a rental where you only got him the rest of the season, at least.
Yeah.
Got one more year on his deal. But I'm not giving up a first-round pick for Malik Beasley.
I agree. I just don't – I'm not there. I'm not there. That's a valuable pick. First-rounder? I don't know. I would need to really feel like that. If you're giving up
they
a first-rounder –
They got Desmond and Santi at the end of the first round. That team values its first-rounders. Hell, it values its second-rounders.
Now, does Danny
– He's like, never traded – Kleiman's never traded a first-rounder. Why are you going to make Malik Beasley the first one you do it for?
Right. And is Malik Beasley going to be that much better than Danny Green? I mean
– That's to be seen.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
What did you say he's shooting 36 this year?
I said 36. He was 5 of 11 from 3.
All Danny ever do is shoot 40%. Shoot
right.
40% with no legs.
Yeah. So he's a little younger, you know, about the same size. I don't know. I don't love the – I mean, Xavier Tillman, you're done with anyway. So that's nothing. That's transactional. That's just to make the money work. But I don't love the idea of giving away a first-round pick for it. I just don't.
He doesn't do – In-season moves.
Yeah.
Hasn't done one in 3 years.
Yeah, so again, you know, 9 days
until – Get ready to stand pat.
I think that's probably what happens. I do. Especially because they have some home games coming up, so they'll start winning again.
Mm-hmm.
And so the vibes will be good again. But I don't know. It's just interesting. Who knows? It doesn't feel like it's going to be a super active trade deadline, though. It's not, you know, some trade deadlines are like, oh, this guy's going to be moved. That guy's going to be moved.
Yeah.
I don't think there are many blockbusters out there this season. Maybe I'll be surprised, but doesn't feel like that at all. All right, Trista Crick's going to join us when we come back. We'll talk to her, get her thoughts. Should the Grizzlies trade for Malik Beasley or somebody else? Is there anybody out there that moves the needle for her? Talk to her about the NFL and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Trista Crick is the host of BetMGM tonight. Joins us every single Tuesday on the show. She's here now. What it do, Trista?
What to do? Are you feeling good about your Chiefs win that you basically were gifted by the refs?
I feel so good. I never apologize for the wins. You know, and I'll say this. The Bengals never led for a single second in that game. My heart does not bleed for them today.
I mean, that's fair. That's one take. That is one take.
And also, Joe Burrow had a chance to win it. He did not.
Yeah, that was bad. You know, I felt like that was something going on where you could feel, and listen, maybe it was just my perspective because I had a couple of props that I personally needed some more yardage on, so I was rooting for overtime. But there was a part of me that felt like the Bengals were fine with overtime too.
Yeah, I tell you, I don't remember exactly, I can't recall to memory exactly what happened, but I remember when the Chiefs punted, I was like, oh, this is it. This is what Joey B does. This is what Joe Burrow does.
And Chris Jones ended it.
Yeah.
So it was going to happen.
I think that was the revelation, right? That a couple things. One is, yeah, that Cincinnati offensive line was in fact as bad as we thought it was, and Buffalo needs to make some moves if they fancy themselves as a contender and if they ever want to make the AFC Championship game or more.
Yeah, and I think you're right about Buffalo because I think that Von Miller was the key to that pass rush, and when he went down, their pass rush went from top 10, conservatively top 10, to I think 27th at getting pressure on the quarterback. Chris Jones, and we talked to Alex Gold from Kansas City early last week, and he said, listen, Chris Jones has never had a sack in the postseason in his career. So betting on him to have multiple sacks in this game is probably a good one. And there's going to need to be some other guys that get to Joe Burrow too. And so Spagnuolo's game plan, I felt like, was so good. And he left a lot of the tricks up his sleeve that he did not pull out when they played, you know, a few weeks back or whatever that was. And then, you know, it ended up being something where I think Joe Burrow expected, I mean, four sacks in the first half is tremendous. The fact that they even came into the second half and looked as good as they did was pretty impressive. Either team could have won. I just felt like some of the final calls, you know, the block in the back that wasn't called. I'm not going to get into the the late hit because that's correct. That's a correct call. But you could have called that a late hit, roughing the passer on Chris Jones against Joe Burrow too, right? So, yeah, I mean, I'm just salty. I'm salty because I had Travis Kelce props that were very close to hitting. I obviously came out, you know, positive for the day, but Ja'Marr Chase, I think I needed 5 more yards from him. Overtime, no matter the result, would have been much better.
Which way, and maybe it changes, but are you leaning one way, Trista, when it comes to looking at this Super Bowl matchup right now? Are you leaning one way? Are you kind of wavering? What do you think of it?
So, fly, Eagles, fly. You know, that's my perspective. You guys know how I feel about Philadelphia as a whole. If you followed me at all in my career, me and Philly have a very long, passionate back and forth relationship. So I'm buying vintage Philadelphia tees. I'm going to do the Lord's work for Pat Mahomes. I'm going to make sure that Pat Mahomes gets another Super Bowl. And that is by outside of this radio hit on my shows that I go on 4 hours a day. There is nothing but positive affirmations for Philadelphia and the city and the players, Hassan Reddick, Jalen Hurts, all these guys, which are probably only, you know, there's only a couple guys on that team I really like. Lane Johnson was an absolute animal with the torn groin going out there as looking as good as he did. But so, yeah, I mean, I did place a bet on Chiefs +3. I bought the 3 as soon as it happened. I don't think that stays there. I'm probably going to double and circle the block on that as well. I think it was -130. But publicly, between you, me, and the lamppost, it's fly, Eagles, fly into the Super Bowl.
Interesting. How much of an impact or factor do you think Mahomes' wide receiver room and the uncertainty around them, how much do you think that matters in the Super Bowl?
I think it matters a lot. However, 2 weeks is a long time to get healthy. And so Kadarius Toney, I think he'll get right. it didn't look like the ankle injury that he sustained on that looked like it was supposed to be a touchdown, but got called back. It didn't look like that was that serious compared to what Pat Mahomes is dealing with, right? But yeah, I think anytime you have significant injuries to a wide receiver core, I think also more importantly is there were some injuries to the defense in the secondary, and you already got rookies back there. I think that's really the key piece for me. I think Pat Mahomes is special enough to get anybody the ball. I mean, he could get Mecole Hardman the ball for 115 yards. No shade to Mecole Hardman. But you saw what he did with MVS. And also, MVS, maybe you call it the system. Maybe you say, you know, he's just developed as a receiver. MVS was not that good in Green Bay. He was okay, but he wasn't 115 yards in the playoffs, in the championship game good. So I think Pat Mahomes is going to be able to elevate anybody. More so, I am concerned about the defense.
If, for whatever reason, maybe the run game gets stuffed early or whatever, but Jalen Hurts has got to make a third and 10, third and 11 throw. I mean, it kind of goes to it. We always say at some point in these playoffs, it's going to come down to one or two throws. Do you trust him, Trista?
I do. You saw him make some big throws against San Francisco. He just didn't have to.
Right.
I think what, and we talked about this last night, it is Jalen Hurts' shoulder, how big of a concern is it really, right? And it's a concern for sure. But I think he's preserving his body for the moments where he actually needs to throw the ball a lot. And that could be in the Super Bowl, right? You don't want to be airing it out against the New York football Giants when you're pummeling them to dust.
Right.
And then once Brock Purdy's UCL gave out on him, and he now obviously needs Tommy John surgery, once that became apparent that you've got Josh Johnson and then the ghost of Brock Purdy, who can only throw the ball 5 yards down the field, why would you ever throw the ball to any of your receivers? And you're averaging, what, like 5 yards per carry on the ground? Kenneth Gainwell was a man in that game.
He was.
He might have been better in that game pound for pound than Miles Sanders, and Miles Sanders, I think, is a really, really good back. So why wouldn't you just use your running game as much as you can? And then if you need to make those throws, you make them.
Yeah. All right. Explain to my partner here your theory, your dissertation here on the difference between a hooper and a basketball player.
Oh, did you like that? Did you like that video?
I thought it was an interesting posit. I did. Yeah. And I found myself thinking about, like, okay, who would I put in each category around the league? You know what I mean?
I think if you're, yeah, so we were talking about the Houston Rockets. That's how it started this conversation. And it's clear to me that the Houston Rockets have a bunch of AAU guys on it, right? Like, that's kind of what it feels like. Tremendous talent. Like, Kevin Porter Jr. is a pure hooper. He can give you buckets. But do you trust Kevin Porter Jr. to go out and run an offense? Think about getting other guys involved, getting them to eat. Where are they at in terms of their week, their mentality? Does Jabari Smith need the ball? I think Houston has more pure hoopers than basketball players on it. Like, you could see, okay, Eric Gordon, he's been on, you know, playoff runs before. He's a veteran in this league. He's probably the OG on the team, and you would consider him, I think, a basketball player. Someone who obviously has skills. I'm not saying any of these guys who are basketball players don't have skills, but they can operate within the NBA and the business and the system that comes around with the NBA. I think the young guns on the Houston Rockets, a lot of them are just hoopers who are out here wanting the ball. And some of the best stars in the league are pure hoopers. You know, Kevin Durant being one of them, right? He's a pure hooper. But he also can do all the things that an NBA player, obviously, or a basketball player can do.
I'm curious on this then. What's OKC got? Are those a bunch of hoopers or are those a bunch of basketball players? I was listening to you. I know they cover quite a bit, don't they, Trista? But I'm curious in terms of breaking down that team, because we were just talking about them earlier on this show and how it's past the point of scrappy. Like, they can go out and hand you an L this season if you don't watch out. But what are they? Is that a bunch of hoopers or are those basketball players?
So I think Jalen Williams, the reason that Jalen with an E.
Yep.
Jalen, so I don't know if he's J-Dub or J-Will. I can't get that straight. The one from Santa Clara. Jalen Williams, I think he was drafted simply because he is a basketball player. He's a tremendous talent, but what he did at Santa Clara, small school, he can do all the little things you want done, right? I think he absolutely was, was taken early because he is a basketball player. Josh Giddey, basketball player. He's done that overseas. He's got court vision. He can hoop, but I think you see him as the connective tissue as a basketball player. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has shades of both. He is a pure hooper.
I agree.
He is a pure
hooper.
Stick, right? Like he can operate anywhere on any court with anyone. Obviously leading the league right now in drives, can get to the rim at levels, even jaws behind him in terms of drives per game, which is sort of stunning.
Wow.
I have yet to see Chet Holmgren. I think he's probably shades of both. Toku, to me, is a hooper. He needs to develop more. I think he even gives me that same vibe as Alperen Şengün, if we're going to continue the Rockets comment, right? Can do a lot of things, but just has to get into the system and development of his skills and body at that level. I think Lu Dort is a basketball player. Oh, my God. Like, I love Lu Dort. He's been injured. But you think about a guy who was at Arizona State, goes undrafted and can carve out this niche for himself. Yeah. I think you got to put him in that. Kenrick Williams, basketball player. Mike Muscala, I don't really know. Trey Mann, I think, has shades of both. I mean, this is a good team, guys.
Yeah, they are.
This is a really good team. We don't even know what Usman Jang is yet. And they went up, obviously, moved up in the draft to get him. We haven't seen him. We haven't seen Chet Holmgren yet. And whoever they end up getting in this year's draft, they have a million draft picks. This team could be a contender anytime they choose.
So
anytime they choose. So it's just
it's kind
when
of scary.
They decide.
So yeah. Let me ask you this. Like, is the implication that you're not going to win a championship if your best player is a hooper?
Oh, I don't know if that's true. I just think I think there's a max limit on how many pure hoopers on your team you can have without straight dysfunction taking place.
Yeah, like there, it almost feels like there is a negative sort of connotation with hooper. You know, like there that like a hooper is missing something.
Well, I think what we realize as professionals in our business too, and I think probably you could consider me in some ways if you want to take the analogy over into the radio or sports media business, I would consider myself a pure hooper in that way. All I want to do is cook. All I want to do is have time and fun with you guys and give opinions and bet on games and the business side of it, the self-promotion side of it, the things that go along with the business that turn really good players, really good media people into superstars, that's probably my weakest attribute. So there's things that it's not a negative, it's just a growth development, and I think you can continue to be that and operate at a very high level in the NBA. I just don't think you can have five starting hoopers on a team, right? Like, I don't think you could have five
right.
Kevin Porter Juniors on your team. I don't think you could have five Josh Christophers on your team. I just don't think that they're thinking about the game in a way that makes everyone better.
Right.
They're thinking about how do we score the most points as humanly possible and stop. And that's a very simplistic layer of the game. And I think there's more to the NBA than there is at lower levels.
Well, I do think it's a super fascinating. Like, I think what makes Ja so special is that he can toggle that. He can be both. Yes. You know what I mean? When necessary. I think he is an underrated basketball player. Most people probably perceive him to be a hooper. But I think he can toggle that setting. On the same token, do the Golden State Warriors have any hoopers? I mean, you want to say Kuminga? I mean, because he's young and he's not there yet.
Poole would be a hooper to me. What about to you, Tristan?
Yeah, Poole is a hooper.
But he does. I guess he sees him jack that shot,
saying, "Give me the ball."
Yeah, like, I guess you're right.
You see what I'm saying?
I guess you're right. Yeah. But he's the only like
hoopers think. Hoopers at the end of a game think heat check.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball players at the end of games think, all right, how do we need to slow this tempo down? What is the other team going to do next? How do we manage the clock? All of these things that you're not necessarily always thinking about
right. Because
it's usually thought for you at lower levels. But now in the next level, I think you have to – and that's the decision-making quality, right? It's just a different
right. –
a different mindset for decision-making quality. And that's probably why I bang on Jordan Poole. Jaylen, he doesn't have that.
Jaylen Brown, Hooper, correct?
Yeah, he is.
Jaylen Brown's a hooper. He's a hooper.
Yeah, he is.
Jason Tatum, basketball player.
For sure. And can be a hooper. That boy can.
Right. Yeah.
He can flat out. He can toggle that. That's what the Celtics, I think, want a lot of is these guys that can toggle between. Rob Williams, hooper. And he's now evolved, right?
Right.
That was what they got him from Texas A&M. They brought him in to be this pure, raw, athletic, instinctual. Like, it's the instincts versus it's not like a knock. It's just a different, I think, mentality.
Let me throw up because I'm curious to just go around the league. Like, what's Damian Lillard?
So here's the thing that I think has happened with Dame. It's really fascinating. And I think he goes through different periods in his career where he emphasizes one over the other. When he came, if you look at his rookie year, and he came out of Weber State, he was more of a basketball player then than he is now. Mm-hmm. Because you see the fundamentals in terms of how he wanted to get guys involved, how he passed, what type of passes he used, what his reads looked like. Just, I think he was much more of, and maybe that was just a confidence thing, because obviously his confidence is through the roof now, and people said he was a score-first guard when he first got into the league, and so I think he was focused on passing a lot. But some of the things that Dame Lillard did in his rookie year, I wish he did more of now. And I think possibly you could say he's much more of a hooper now. He can lead a team. He can take over. He can get guys involved. I think he can toggle between. But when you go on a team like Portland, and maybe this is how the guys on Houston feel. I don't think so, though, just based on how they played at lower levels and how they play in critical times down the stretch to give a lot of leads away. So you could say, well, Dame went to the Blazers and they needed him to take over. They needed him to just go out there and ball. And so he took more of the responsibility on his shoulders. I don't think it's correlated to just one-on-one ISO scoring, but it certainly has some level of that to it. And you could say, okay, well, maybe that's Terry Stotts and his system. I think it's a pretty complex discussion player by player, right? Because you have a lot to think about when you are evaluating.
Well, and team needs go into it, right?
Yep, exactly. 1,000%.
Trist, if you were the Grizzlies, real quick, because we've been talking about this one's been thrown around a lot. OG Anunoby, you know, obviously looks like he's gettable for some team that's willing to pay the price. If you were the Grizzlies, are you willing to pay more than other teams? Maybe the Knicks, I've seen reports that they're willing to offer multiple first-rounders for him. If you're the Grizzlies, would you offer what you have to go to get OG? Is it worth it? How would you approach that potential trade?
Who's the player that you think you would have to give up to get him?
Picks and Dillon. And maybe some edge work, you know, a couple of more role players or something. But Dillon on expiring, the picks, and, you know, a couple of bodies.
I would definitely do that if I was the Grizzlies. I love Dillon. Obviously, I went to Oregon. I feel very positively about him. Sometimes he has some bad decision-making in him. You know, he wants to go out and do everything that he can for the team. Offensively, it can get rough. I don't know necessarily if you're going to get that same sort of decision-making from OG, and he's defensively a monster. I think you become a top three defense in the league with OG and Anunoby, and that's no shade to Dillon Brooks. I just think OG can do more things for you. And I think he's going to become more of a scorer as well. One of my good friends works with OG on his body, on sort of the things that he's doing in terms of elevating his play. I think you automatically kind of become the team to beat in the West, don't you?
Yeah, I mean,
more so than these edge work moves, like going and add a Beasley or something that, you know, the people are talking about a smaller move.
Oh, don't do that.
OG, I think it shifts a little bit.
The only hesitation is just like
it's what you're giving up.
The culture is so good, you know,
and they already, to your point, they already are a top three defense. To you know, they're that right now. I don't know. I guess it's sort of a discussion too. Like, how much is Dillon a part of their DNA? You know, like just his attitude, that all, I got this guy, just the spit, the fire, all of that. How much of that has become so Grizz now that you don't want to give it up? I'm kind of with you that OG can still fit. He can fit those things. Maybe doesn't give you the same level of intensity, but that it's going to be more efficient. I think we know that about OG, you know?
Yeah, and I'm curious. There's a lot to there that too, because I think number one is, how does Ja feel about Dylan, and how does Ja feel about OG?
Yeah.
What does he think that's going to do for the team and elevate it? You always want to ask your star player their thoughts on it, and if it's somebody he feels like he must have because he's some sort of integral part of grit and grind or this culture that is what the Grizzlies are now. I think that's something to think of. Also, and this may sort of counter what I was saying about OG, because I love OG on the Grizzlies and I think it's a great move, but I think you have to figure out whether the role that you would need OG in, he would particularly be happy in. Mm-hmm. Because he's not happy with his role in Toronto. They're not calling any plays for him. They don't run their offense.
I'm glad you brought that up, because you would probably be asking him to be the fourth in the pecking order behind Ja, right. Bane, Jaren. You know, you're going to be, which is what they're asking Dylan to do. So you're saying that's his issue right now, right?
Yeah, but I think also there's an issue with Fred VanVleet and Siakam personally, a personal issue.
Yep.
And that all stems back to when those two became friends in the G League. So they became a clique, and no matter if you were to run off an offense with OG in mind or not, if those two guys have the basketball and they're thinking about one another and they are not thinking about you, then you're going to have you're going to feel some sort of way about that. And so maybe a change of scenery and playing with a guy like Ja. I think Ja just has a different mentality than Fred. He just wants to get his guys involved.
Yeah.
And that's why I think you could say, as much as Ja is someone who has all the skill level in the world and can do all the things that a hooper can do, the best testament that I could say about Ja is that he's a basketball player as well, and he can make guys winning plays.
Absolutely.
Trista, great stuff,
homie.
Love
this stuff. Thank you,
Thanks
Trista.
Thanks for the time, as always.
Thanks. We got into it today.
I like it.
Man. It's what we do. Thanks.
Thank you, Trista.
Talk soon.
All right. Talk to you guys.
Yep.
Later. She is Trista Crick. Joins us every single Tuesday here on the show. Catch her on BetMGM tonight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.